The Tigers survive and advance to the NIT Final Four. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are breaking down Auburn's quarterfinal NIT victory over Nevada, 75-69, as the Tigers take down the Wolfpack behind a strong first half and what was enough in the second half. And it was a little bit of a same story as the game against Seattle, where it felt like the Wolfpack were just going to fight back until the very end. And sure enough, it's actually the same margin of victory in this game. The offense doesn't score as much as it did against the Redhawks, but like I said, it does enough. Gets a huge performance from Filip Jovic, one rebound shy of a double-double, and it is just really a huge moment for Stephen Pearl and this program to go to the NIT Final Four. Yes, that's not something that sounds all that great when you just say it that way, but with all the ups and downs of this season and the history of this program, the Tigers have never been past the quarterfinal round of the NIT. It has simply been either one and done in the NIT or made it to the quarterfinal round and then bowed out then. So it's a big deal for this program, regardless of what's happened over the last 10 or so years with this program making, you know, two Final Fours in the NCAA tournament in 2019 and 2025. You shouldn't take this for granted. And what you also shouldn't take for granted is that this is the fifth consecutive 20-win season for the Auburn Tigers. And that is a streak that is, one, a school record and matches Kentucky, Tennessee, and Texas A&M for the longest active streaks in the SEC. Stephen Pearl is also the first coach in program history to lead the Tigers to 20 wins in his first season. And really, again, comparing them to obviously other Auburn coaches is one thing, but and I don't have it in front of me. This will be worth, I think, talking about postseason after the season is over, is comparing him and his first season to the first seasons like Todd Golden, like Nate Oates, like a Rick Barnes, like other successful SEC coaches that are currently in this league, and even some past ones as well. And I think when we take a look at that, it's going to be pretty favorable for Coach Pearl and this staff and this program, just because, especially in this day and age where roster turnover is so dependent on continuity and everything like that. And last year, going into the season, you had that continuity. You thought Bruce Pearl was going to be the head coach, and then he retires on the first day of practice. So you keep most of that intact, but it's that one piece that doesn't. Even with that, you lost everyone from that Final Four team in 2025. You lose the SEC and National Player of the Year in Jahni Broome. Denver Jones is gone, the senior veteran point guard. Miles Kelly, the one-year impact transfer out of Georgia Tech, who was a sharpshooter. You lose the five-year veterans in Dylan Cardwell and Chris Moore. And then Chaney Johnson is gone, a guy that developed so well in those 2 years. And I'm sure I'm forgetting someone, but regardless, Chad Baker Mazzara, who was such a dynamic player, is gone from the team. And the lone returner is Tahai Pettiford, who's coming back for his sophomore season. And quite frankly, a little bit of a slump this year, but still performs when it matters most. And I thought he was kind of your second guy. Filip Jovic was obviously your MVP last night against Nevada with 18 points and 9 rebounds, 9 of 12 shooting. How about that? Very consistent. He got under the rim and was just dunking all over guys. And then Todd Pettiford, 16 points on 5 of 13 shooting, 2 of 9 from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, but 6 assists and 2 turnovers is the number we talked about all season long and where he needed to be. So again, just making this Final Four in the NIT, while not where Auburn wanted to be this season. I mean, yes, of course, that's what I'll say is this team's still playing. The defending national champions aren't. North Carolina's not. North Carolina's looking for a new head coach. Kansas is done. They might be looking for a new coach in the coming weeks. UCLA is done. Kentucky is done. There's only four SEC teams left playing right now other than Auburn. It's Alabama, it's Tennessee, it's Texas, and it's Arkansas. Those are the four teams remaining. And I think that's a big deal, regardless of you being in a different tournament. The fact that Auburn decided we're going to play in this tournament, even with the disappointment of being left out of the field of 68, they've shown up. And while they haven't been the prettiest performances or these wild blowouts or anything like that, they're surviving and advancing. It's the same exact mantra in the NIT, in the Crown Tournament, in the CBI, which didn't happen this year, as it is in the NCAA Tournament. You survive and advance, and you try to win a championship and cut down the nets at the end of this thing. And Auburn will hopefully have a chance to do that. Next game will be next Thursday against Illinois State at Hinkle Fieldhouse, a historic venue, the home of the Butler Bulldogs. Very cool. Listen, it's going to be tough to get up there. Now, here's the thing. You got a head start on all the NCAA tournament teams on booking flights and hotels and things of that nature. I'd encourage Auburn fans to make their way up there to Indianapolis. And here's the thing. If you went to that Final Four last year in San Antonio, you know how fun that weekend is and what it's like. And from what I've heard, San Antonio and Indianapolis are 1 and 2 in Final Four locations as far as fan experience and just the cities go. As walkable as they are, everything going on downtown, the stadium is right there in the center of it. I would encourage you to go. And I'm not saying you have to go to, obviously, the NCAA Tournament Final Four. But listen, I think it'd be a cool experience to go see Hinkle Fieldhouse. And then hopefully Auburn can kind of heal some wounds from that loss to Purdue back in December in Cambridge Fieldhouse for the NIT championship. But that's the thing, is Auburn has a chance to win an NIT championship, has never made it this far in the NIT tournament, in what was a tournament that was the premier tournament before the NCAA tournament kind of took its role in crowning the national champion. So it's a historic one. But now let's really break down this game and what happened in this game where Auburn gets off to a big start, led by 15 for what felt like most of it. Led by as many as 16, never really went on a run. That you look at it, actually, Auburn's largest run was a 7-0 run. Nevada had a better run of 8-0 than the Tigers did. But you lead by 16 with 10:58 to go in the second half. And Nevada obviously fights its way back and is able to do that. But I think the key here is that Nevada really never had a shot at this thing. It was always multiple possession game. While, yeah, you look back at the Seattle game, it was a very similar story. But I can't be too mad about this and at that. I mean, again, it's just one of those things where these teams just shoot the three really well against Auburn. And for this game, 7 of 20 from 3 for Nevada, 35%. I think it's a little below its season average and its clip, but you're fine with that because it was only 7 threes. It wasn't a high volume. It wasn't 12 of 40. And Auburn was able to manage and really kind of hold on to that lead for the entirety of it. It felt like the Tigers were on the verge of kind of busting the game wide open and maybe making this kind of a blowout. There was that one fast break, that transition opportunity where Elijah Freeman just misses a dunk, and that never happens. That's rare, and he had a good game with 15 points on 5 of 11 shooting. But, that I think had that landed, things might have changed a little bit in that game. And fortunately, it didn't really matter. Auburn wins, and like I said, that's all that matters, survived in advance. Now, on the other side of the floor, the defensive side, thought Auburn had a pretty good game and a decent game plan for a team that, one, shoots the ball well, but also is just a team that likes to get to the free throw line. And Nevada did that with one guy. The Wolfpack were 12 of 17 from the free throw line. Two guys had two free throw attempts. So that's four total. But then it was Elijah Price. He was 9 of 13 from the free throw line. He had a double-double, 22 points and 11 rebounds. And I'll say, I don't want to get too held up on this because really ain't worth it. But if you watch this game, I don't – how many fouls would you have thought that Elijah Price, number one on Nevada, got? And, I'm not trying to call him out or anything like that, but – He fouled zero times in this game, but he drew 10 fouls. It's 9 of 13 from the free throw line that led to 22 points. I find that hard to believe. And Stephen Pearl does as well. His quote in his presser, Elijah Price drew 10 fouls and didn't commit one, which has to be a record. That's what he does, though. But Phillip dunked on him like four times. So, and that's the thing. This team didn't let that get to them or let it impact their play. They stuck to the game plan. And while, again, Price got to the free throw line a ton, they were able to limit the other guys from getting there a ton. Corey Camper Jr., he had a triple-double in the previous game in the second round of the NIT. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, turns it over twice, and he commits 3 fouls. There was an awesome sequence in, I think it was the first half, but I think it was the first time it was definitely the first time Blake Michalak checked into the game. It was a defensive possession, and he is just all up in Camper's grill. And you could tell it frustrated him, and he ends up committing an offensive foul. Crowd goes crazy. The bench loses its mind, and he comes out of the game, and Cade Magwood gets some reps in, 6 minutes of action. And that was awesome to see, just that this coaching staff had this game plan set, knew what it was going to do to really counteract Nevada's its game plan of trying to get to the free throw line as much as possible. And while, again, Elijah Price had his way, nobody else did. Like I said, only two other guys even got to the free throw line. And it was Comer with 2 free throws and Arma Trading with 2 as well. So, again, I was extremely impressed by that. Of course, like I said, the three-point shooting could be better late in the game, especially in crunch time. And I think there's also the aspect of the press that was applied to the Tigers by the Wolfpack late in that game. And still some struggles beating that press. It's starting to have flashbacks to that Texas A&M game and several other games. But, again, Auburn makes it work. And survives and advances. So I just continue to be impressed by those three we talked about last episode in Jovich, Sebastian Williams Adams, and in Elijah Freeman. Sway is it doesn't pop up in the box score at all. 5 points on 2 of 4 shooting, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, no assists, 2 fouls. He doesn't turn the ball over though. And I would imagine he had a couple of steals. Yeah, he had 2 steals. He also had 1 block. And one of those steals was his 44th of the season. And that is an Auburn freshman record. So you got to think about some of these awesome freshmen that Auburn has had over the last few years. And one I point toward is Isaac Okoro. He was a great defender, and that's why he got drafted in the lottery like he did. He didn't have 44 steals in that season. Sway does, though. And that's something to hang your hat on. He's got active hands. He's so athletic. He knows how to guard somebody. And when his offensive game starts to develop and his skills really turn into something to be a force to be reckoned with, then these teams are going to have to really game plan for him and look out. But we talked about Jovich, his 18 points and 9 rebounds. Just so confident. He's down low. He is comfortable, you can tell. And that's on both ends of the floor. He's down there and he's ready to grab rebounds. He's ready to do whatever. And then the scoring is what we've been wanting to see. I think it's his first game this season with back-to-back double-digit scoring games. And one, let me give a shout-out to Scott Scroggins, who he delivers a lot of these notes that I break down during the season about these guys and this team. Scroggins Noggin on Twitter and X, he does a great job in the Auburn Sports Information Department. So I look at that and I'm like, I hate it for him that he didn't get the extra rebound for his second career double-double. That's frustrating. So I'm so excited for those two guys, and I'm excited for Elijah Freeman, who isn't a freshman, but he might as well be, coming from the D2 level up to the SEC, scoring 15 points, 5 of 11 shooting, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, just 1 turnover. And I think he had some lapses on defense tonight, 1 block, 1 steal as well. But again, it's part of it with this Nevada team. You're trying to guard the paint better than you have in the past few games. And really, it was a few guys that just drifted out. And you just don't see them because you're focused on being in position so you don't commit a foul and get a guy to a free throw line. And that's how most of those threes for Nevada went in. So I'm not overly concerned with that. I'm excited for him and think that can develop into something. Keyshawn Hall, we also talked about him last episode and how I think he was going to be the catalyst and really the most important player in this game for the Tigers. Jovich certainly was that, but Hall with 14 points on 6 of 9 shooting. He didn't shoot a ton of threes, 2 of 3 from deep. He didn't get to the free throw line. That's what I was shocked by, but he was able to open up the offense with driving to the basket, and he used the baseline a lot. That was what I think has been missing from his game for a while. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, turnover 3 times, but yeah, I was pleased with Hall's performance and what he did on the offensive end, especially when Auburn, it did feel like he scored timely because I could be completely misremembering this, but it did feel like there were times when Auburn went on its droughts and Hall was the one that kind of got Auburn out of that funk. The other key, and this tracks with Jovich having such a big game, was the paint points, 46 to 32 in Auburn's favor. That's what you got to do. You got to be close to you got to be between 40 and 50 paint points every game from here on out to win an NIT championship. And it goes back to the regular season and how I think that would have been key for Auburn winning a few more games, because you go back to the Florida game and how Auburn was successful there. It didn't back down from the elite front line that Florida has with Alex Conda and Ruben Chinyelu and Thomas Houck and Micah Handel-Ogden. All those guys are so, so good. And they still went after him. And Auburn was able to do that again last night against Nevada. And it's going to get an Illinois State team in the NIT semifinal. Then it's probably, again, it's a team out of the Missouri Valley Conference, went 23-12 so far, and had a decent end to the season, just didn't make it very far in the MVC tournament. Got killed by Northern Iowa, 74-52. Just their offense just got suffocated, quite frankly. And right now you look at KenPom and what it expects out of the Auburn an Illinois State game. It's a 79-72 victory for the Tigers and gives Illinois State a 27% chance to win this game. You go look at the numbers, and the defense is what the Redbirds, led by Ryan Peden, really is hanging its hat on. And 62nd defensive efficiency in the country. Its offense is 147th, but its key is that it doesn't allow offensive rebounds. And you go to last night, Auburn didn't get a ton of second chance points, but it did get 11 offensive rebounds. And I think did open up the game a little bit for the Tigers. And you keep going down, not a lot of blocks. It's not a huge lineup. Looking at it, the Chase Walker is kind of their guy, their go-to guy, specifically on the offensive end, but he's a decent defender as well. He's 6'9", 280. And then you look down, Johnny Kinziger, he's 5'11". Tyreek Coleman, 6'2". Bowden Skunberg with 6'5". Ty Pence is 6'6". Mason Klabo's 6'2", and they got Brandon Leib, who's 7'1", but he's not playing a ton, quite frankly. So I think that fares well for Auburn with the size that it has. And yeah, Walker is the starting center for them at 6'9", 280. That's good for Auburn. It's going to be a big deal for Auburn to have the size matchup and be able to kind of dominate. Yeah, average height for Illinois State is 316th in the country. And it tracks about with Auburn. Auburn's probably a little bit taller, but yeah, I mean, it's quite a bit taller. I shouldn't say that. But Illinois State just doesn't have anyone towering. Like, I mean, Nevada had some tall guys, and Auburn was able to handle them well. So that's a big deal. And just again, this is a chance at a semifinal game in a tournament setting in Hinkle Fieldhouse, a historic setting. A huge deal for Auburn. So yeah, just it was a good night in Neville Arena. And it was good to see Auburn kind of have its way in the first half and then able to cruise, quite frankly, to the end. I know Coach Pearl and that staff is not going to be happy with the way things kind of ended there down the stretch. You would have liked a more of a dominant performance, one where you felt more comfortable in the final 90 seconds to 2 minutes, but it is what it is. Nevada was also playing for its lives and its tournament lives. Like, that's going to happen in the NCAA tournament. That's how it is. I mean, you go back to last year, Auburn against Alabama State and Creighton. Those games Auburn didn't quite look like the Final Four team it turned out to be. It maybe did in the second half against Creighton, but Alabama State and the first half against the Blue Jays were not what that Auburn team was made of. So just getting a win here, and I get a chance, like I said, to one, if you win against Illinois State, then you get a chance to avenge kind of that feeling that you have when you left Gainbridge Fieldhouse back in December against Purdue. And when you look at the other side of the NIT and a potential championship opponent, it's either going to be New Mexico or Tulsa coming out of the other side. That game will take place before Auburn and Illinois State inside Hinkle Fieldhouse. And the championship will be held on Sunday at 5 Central in Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So any of these matchups are pretty exciting. I mean, listen, it was talked about and it was discussed as this tournament was announced. It's a lot of mid-majors, but they're good mid-majors. You look at what New Mexico, and this is, again, getting on about filling the arena. And Auburn doesn't have any more home games. The quarterfinal was the last one. New Mexico had 7,000 plus at the pit for its games. It was a one seed, so it hosted through the quarterfinal round. And that place was packed. It was excited to be in the NIT. Guarantee you, they're going to travel quite a bit to Indianapolis and enjoy the festivities there. So you get matched up with the Lobos, that's going to be a big thing. And hey, with Illinois State, they're just a couple hours away. So that's another challenge. And part of why I encourage you to make it up to Indianapolis if you have the means and you're able to. I know it's Easter weekend, so that does make it tough, but part of it. So again, a good performance by Auburn in the first half, a good enough performance in the second half, and the Tigers get it done against Nevada in the quarterfinal of the NIT. So we're going to have it all broken down. We've got over a week until that game, so might have more of a preview or something going into that game where we don't have more than a week off before talking next Friday to break down that result. Because again, the offseason is right on the horizon. The season is either going to end on April 2nd or April 5th for the Tigers. It's just dependent on the result of that semifinal game against Illinois State. If the Tigers lose, then it's right back to Auburn on that Friday and get ready for the transfer portal and hiring a GM and everything that goes along with that. And if the Tigers win, doesn't matter what happens in the championship on April 5th, it's over after that. And hopefully the Tigers will bring back a championship and some nets from Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So we'll look ahead to that and kind of what the keys are for this offseason and Stephen Pearl. And obviously we've discussed it and how you want to get Mac as many of, I mean, you just look at the box score from last night. Todd Pettiford, Kevin Overton, Elijah Freeman, Philip Jovich, Sebastian Williams-Adams, as well as Caden Magwood, Simon Walker, who didn't get any playing time. Those guys can all come back. You want to bring back as many of them as possible. Keyshawn Hall's eligibility is done, so it is what it is. We'll talk about kind of what the hope is there and what their ceilings are and kind of what the expectations are of going forward with his coaching staff. And then, obviously, what you're looking to add in the transfer portal, because you bring in Caleb Williams out of the freshman cycle, but you don't bring in anybody else. So it's going to be a heavy portal class, and hopefully it doesn't have to be that heavy. Hopefully you get back a majority of those guys I just mentioned, and you're able to move along with them as a core crew that saw what they just went through this past season and are ready to kind of take it by the horns and run with it. So that's what we're going to do next time. And then we'll break down the NIT semifinal against Illinois State. Then move on to hopefully the championship. And if not, to the offseason, getting ready for 26 to 27. Make sure you are subscribed and hit the like button right here on YouTube to the Barn Podcast Network, or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And you'll get updates every time we drop a new Barn Hoops podcast or any of our great shows right here on the network, talking about Auburn baseball, fifth ranked in the country, going to Alabama this weekend, a huge series against the Crimson Tide. They've moved into the top 25 after sweeping the Florida Gators, got a no-hitter from their Friday night guy through 132 pitches. And then Auburn football is obviously well underway. Spring practice, the A-Day games on April 18th at Jordan-Hare Stadium. That's free to attend, by the way, so make your plans to make it down for the A-Day game on April 18th. But we've got all the coverage right here on the Barn Podcast Network. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.